Welcome back to Ask Me Another. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this hour we're featuring some of my favorite trivia, puzzles, and word games. Whoever decided that user comments should be allowed on the internet had no idea what they were getting into. In this inspired game, we've taken not the best, but the worst real comments posted about classic literature and best-selling books and asked if you can still identify them from their one-star Amazon reviews. On stage right now, we have Rob Jaklowski and Lisa Gargiulo ready for our next game.
I'm ready.
Now, this is very special because we know you're both English teachers. Rob, you teach 19th century literature to college students. Lisa teaches mythology to 7th and 8th graders. It's a perfect match.
There's practically no difference between those two things.
It's exactly the same. It's a perfect match for this game that is called Everyone's a Critic. You see, for every universally loved piece of literature, there is someone out there who hates it. Hates it! And thanks to the internet, we get to hear exactly how much they hate it. Thank you, World Wide Web. So we're going to ask you to identify bestsellers and literary classics based on their one-star review on Amazon.com. We've edited them down a bit, but these are actual reviews from real people. Just to make it a little harder, we've removed the name of the author. We should probably say that the opinions in these reviews in no way reflect any of our feelings about anything, not even the game's writer. This is one of the most boring books I've ever read. The only exciting thing in the whole book was when the sharks appeared. I cared so little for all the characters, especially the main character, that I hoped that they were going to eat him. But nope, they ate his stupid Marlin instead. When the reader is hoping for the hero to die, your book sucks. Rob.
Old Man in the Sea?
Yeah, that is so right. I, too, cannot believe the hype. This is a truly dreadful book full of shallow, unlikable, unbelievable characters. The plot is tortured, like the victims, and the dialogue is so cliché-ridden, it almost rots on the page. I have never read a book where so many cups of coffee are brewed, smelled, sipped, or downed, nor so many cigarettes shared between protagonists. Finishing it was an exercise in Swedish masochism. Rob.
A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
That is correct. I used to feel bad about Sherman burning Atlanta, but that was before I read this book. Though it is very well written, it is very offensive to African Americans, women, and of course, Yankees. Rob.
Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind. Those cruel and vicious Yankees. You are correct. I understand that autobiographies can be self-centered and navel-gazing. But the author is one of the most self-important, obtuse, boorish, annoying cretins ever to put pen to paper. I found the author stunningly unempathetic and uninvolved in the world around her, no matter where she was, under what circumstances, and I too thought that her ex-husband is well rid of her. She has, by the way, since the book's publication, married her Brazilian lover and moved with him to New Jersey. So for all of her exploration, she is pretty much, like the song says, back where she started. Lisa.
Eat, Pray, Love.
You got that one. Did you read Eat, Pray,
Love? I
did.
I agree with most of the reviews. It's good, but...
Since a less than one-star review is not allowed, this book gets the single star for the cute cover picture of the dog. That's the only redeeming quality of this paltry, overrated book. This book is really about a family of boring mediocrities who just happen to own a dog. One gets the impression that the dog is nothing but a frustrating burden to them, and after reading half of this book, I was convinced the author was incapable of having a loving relationship with this dog or any other dog. Lisa.
Marley and Me?
Marley and Me is correct. Rob is the winner of that round. Congratulations, Rob. Are you exhausted right now from shouting answers at your radio? Well, then we want to meet you. To be a contestant on a future show, reach us on Twitter or Facebook at NPR Ask Me Another, or send us an old-fashioned email at askmeanother@npr.org. In exchange, we'll send you a little quiz to see if you got what it takes to make it to our Ask Me One More final round. Let's welcome our next two contestants to our stage, Ben Smith and Nicole Holliday. Welcome to the Ask Me Another stage. Ben, are you a visual thinker?
A little bit.
A little bit. Have you ever played Pictionary?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like it?
Okay. Kind of.
Sure, that's okay. That's honest. Nicole, how about you? Pictionary player?
Terrible.
Terrible Pictionary. Awful, not a visual thinker
Can't
at all.
Can't see it for anything.
Oh, excellent. This game is called Radio Pictionary. Sounds impossible, but impossible is my middle name because Ophira Eisenberg wasn't bad enough. Jonathan, can you explain?
Yes, well, I'm going to describe what I'm drawing. And you have to guess what I'm trying to draw. To keep it simple, I'll be drawing famous corporate logos, as I often do. For example, if I were to draw, or describe drawing, a large uppercase letter G and then an orange lightning bolt superimposed on top of it, you would say...
Gatorade.
Gatorade, that's right. And I should mention one more thing. Some of these logos are not the ones currently used by the companies. But they are the best ones. Okay, here we go. I'm drawing a thick circular black ring with the company's initials in white letters. Inside that is a circle divided into four quarters, with the quarters alternating white and light blue. It's an automobile company. Nicole.
BMW?
That's right. Now I'm drawing a sphere, which is not easy to do. I am a great drawer. The sphere is assembled from jigsaw puzzle pieces. Each piece has a letter on it from a different alphabet. There's an omega, a W, a Chinese character, an Arabic script letter. Nicole.
Wikipedia.
That's right.
Nice. This game kind of sounds like you're going into a company to pitch them. You're the designer, but you forgot your PowerPoint presentation. Yeah, that's right. So you're like, all right, everybody.
I wish you guys could see this logo that I drew at home because it is so great. I'm drawing another circle. The entire circle is green. There's also a mermaid with very long hair. She has a crown on her head. And also, her tails are next to her ears. Nicole.
Starbucks.
That's right.
Yep.
I did not know until the show that that was a mermaid in there. I am now drawing a football team logo, a circular ring, inside of which and to the left is the team name. On the right within the ring are three diamonds with concave sides, also known as hypocycloids in the drawing business. They're in primary colors. Symbolically, the diamonds are yellow for coal, red for ore, and blue for scrap metal. Nicole.
The Steelers.
Yes.
Which I hate, because I'm from Ohio.
I was going to ask, you were pushing that button from the second I said circle, so I could tell either you hated them or loved them. All right, now I am drawing this company's logo, which is its two-syllable name. The first syllable is purple, and the second is typically orange or gray. Imagine that there is a hidden arrow pointing to the right formed by the negative space between the two letters of the second syllable. Ben.
FedEx.
Yes. Okay, now I am drawing this fashion brand logo by drawing two-letter Cs, except the first C is backwards. And it interlocks with the second, like the links of a chain. A beautiful chain worn on the slender hips of a model. Nicole.
Chanel.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, well done. Congratulations, Nicole. You have won this visual round of drawing. Jonathan, you got that guitar and everything.
Yeah.
Would you like to play a little something for us?
Yeah, sure. This is my attempt at children's literature. The Princess Who Saved Herself.
Was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and and she liked it pretty well. 'Cause she never wore her socks, she had a pet snake. She bought a red guitar and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself. Princess who saved herself. Was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down till she caught him by his tail. And she tied him to a tree. The dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean and it made the dragon cry. When she finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend with the princess who saved herself. The princess who saved herself.
Thank you.
And finally, No Favorites episode is complete without exploiting the talents of our VIPs. That's Puzzle Speak, of course, for very important puzzlers. So when comedian Michael Ian Black came on our show, we knew he was up for anything. So we asked him to do something we don't usually do. We asked him to lead a game where we all had to channel our inner Valley Girl. We're going to first welcome our contestants that are going to play this game. Let's welcome Andrew Sommerfeld and Erica Pietracola. Erica, I enjoy your last name, and I'm told you have a very strange nickname, EMDB. That's a family nickname?
Yes.
What does EMDB stand for?
My father doesn't use IMDB.com. He calls me on the phone when he has a question. He's like, who is that person in that movie that did that thing? And I can always figure out who that person was who was in that movie, who did that thing.
So does he have a computer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He just refused.
But he kind of fat fingers everything, so.
Aww.
I love my dad.
That's adorable.
He's so cute. There's always like a finger in the photo, you know.
Andrew, do you have a family nickname?
I don't have a family nickname. I have a nickname at work.
Okay. What's your nickname at work?
They call me the Goog.
The Goog?
Because I have my smartphone, and I Google everything anytime there's a question, so I'm...
You guys are both people with answers. Good.
Let's hope we have the answers
here.
It's
a lot of pressure.
Well, you are Google-free and IMDb-free on this next game. This next game has to do with a little something called uptalk. Like, you know when teenage girls' voices go up at the end of everything? No matter what they say, it always sounds like a question. So in this game, we imagine what famous advertising slogans might sound like if they had Valley Girls say them. Like suddenly a powerful command like just do it becomes just do it. Or for example, if we said a computer company wonders whether you should have unique ideas, you would say think different. So you're gonna go up on the end like that, and we are looking just for the slogans, not the companies. And Michael is gonna help me here.
I guess.
And do alternate questions.
Okay, I guess, all right.
A famous newspaper might have all the stories that are suitable to read. Andrew.
Like all the news that's fit to print? For sure.
Totally right.
The Goog.
The Goog.
A breakfast chain wonders if the U.S. is fueled by them?
Andrew.
Like America totally runs on Dunkin'?
Like you're way too good at that? A precious stone monopoly thinks maybe their product will last an eternity? Erica.
A diamond is forever?
Correct.
A long-distance telephone company asks you to extend a hand and contact a person.
Erica.
Reach out and touch someone?
Yes. But if I'm going to let someone reach out and touch me, like, they have to buy me something, you know?
Yeah, like, totally.
Totally.
There's this guy in my chemistry class, and I totally wish he would reach out and touch me.
It is always chemistry, isn't it? It's always chemistry. Paid for by farmers, these ads want you to try the alternative, colorless protein? Erica.
Pork, it's what's for dinner?
You're very close, it's not exactly the slogan. The alternative colorless protein? Andrew for the steal.
Pork, it's what's for dinner?
That's what I said.
That's what
I
said.
I know it.
Okay, I'm sorry, you already gave the wrong answer, but you can give it to me.
It's pork, the other white meat.
Ah, there you go.
It's beef, it's what's for dinner.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
That has color.
That does have color. I know, a colorless protein just sounds terrible, though.
All right, are you guys ready for your next question? A restaurant chain's poultry might be hand-lapping tasty.
Andrew.
It's totally finger-licking good.
That is correct. For a popular beer brand, some people say it has flavor. Some people say it leaves room. Andrew.
It tastes great or less filling.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe it's the first meal of the day for winners.
That was the question.
That was a question.
Yeah, that was the question.
It's like the Breakfast of Champions.
Oh my God, it's totally the Breakfast of Champions.
Totally.
Yeah. That's Wheaties. Andrew, you are the winner of this round. Congratulations. You are the teenager of the year. So there you go. Some of my top puzzle picks from our shows so far, and a special shout out to our puzzle writers for being such mad geniuses. Still need more? No problem. Listen to all of our episodes by subscribing to our podcast, and you can always find us on Facebook or Twitter. Just look around for NPR Ask Me Another. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, his name anagrams to launch at Jot Noon.
Our puzzle gurus were Will Hines.
Hells, I win.
And John Chinesky.
Oh heck, ninjas.
Our puzzle editor is Art Chung.
Narc Thug.
With additional puzzle writing by Mary Tobler, Noah Tarno, Dan Schofield, John Chinesky, Josiah Madigan, Greg Pliska, and Greg Volk. Ask Me Another is produced by Josh Rogerson.
So jig honors.
John Asante.
Hat, no jeans.
And Eleanor Kagan.
An orange lake.
AMA is recorded by Paul Ruest, Noriko Okabe, and David Hurtgen. Our senior supervising producer is Jesse Baker.
Jab seekers.
Our general manager is Portia Robertson-Migas. And our executive producer is Eric Newsom. We'd like to thank the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
Our home in Brooklyn, New York, and our production partner, WNYC. I'm Her Ripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Orfila Foundation, working to strengthen communities by empowering individuals at orfilafoundation.org. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.